WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 55 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny today with a high around 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In Southwest Iowa news, a Red Oak man has been charged in connection with a go-kart accident that resulted in serious injuries to his son. According to Red Oak Police, 35-year-old Sean Michael Soar was taken into custody early this morning on felony charges of child endangerment and serious injury by vehicle. Soar was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $10,000 bond. Authorities say Soar and his 2-year-old son Ryan were riding in a go-kart at around 9:15 p.m. on September the 5th when the machine hit a parked car in the 700 block of East Grimes Street in Red Oak. Following the crash, the child was flown by helicopter to a trauma center in Omaha. A report on his condition is not available. Sean Soar suffered minor injuries and was treated at the Montgomery County Hospital. News time is 8:01.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the other news, authorities in Council Bluffs have identified the victim of Monday's fatal semi versus pedestrian accident as a South Dakota man. 52-year-old James Haas of Watertown, South Dakota, died at the scene of the accident on Interstate 80 eastbound near the Manawa exit. Haas was walking on the interstate when he was struck by a semi being driven by 37-year-old Cedric Taylor of Crestview, Florida. The accident happened at around 1:10 p.m. Officials say while the incident remains under investigation, alcohol and speed were not believed to be factors in the collision. Instead, they're looking into the possibility Haas may have intentionally walked into the path of traffic. Sheriff's officials in Fremont County said yesterday that a Des Moines woman was arrested last week on drug and other charges. 40-year-old Annette LaVon Thompson was taken into custody for first offense OWI, possession of drug paraphernalia, open container, and for driving under suspension. Thompson made her initial appearance in court on Thursday. And the Fremont County Sheriff's Office said a Fergus Falls, Minnesota woman escaped injury on September the 4th after the car she was driving hit a sand pile caused by the road closure on North Street in Hamburg. Kathleen Kostruski's 1999 Pontiac Sunfire flipped once, ending up on its wheels. Authorities here in southern Iowa will begin a program where people with information about underage drinking parties can tip them off about the party with a text message. The text-a-tip program will use a text-only phone line for tips about underage parties. Officials of the Iowa State Patrol say by texting a message about the time and whereabouts of the party, people can remain anonymous. The program is sponsored by the Iowa State Patrol, law enforcement agencies, and school districts in 9 Iowa counties, including locally Adair, Adams, Ringgold, Taylor, and Union. Authorities say they hope the program will help shut down underage parties and prevent injuries and death. The phone number where tips can be sent by text message is area code 641-799-2277. Well, voters across Iowa will be heading to the polls today to elect their school board members and make a decision on other school-related matters. The polls will open at noon today and close at 8 p.m. Here in Cass County, there are contested races in the Atlanta Community School District, where there are 3 at-large seats to fill. Incumbents Dennis Davis, Phil Haskell, and John Martins are all up for re-election, along with Rodney Hartwig. In addition, Josh McLaren is the lone candidate to fill a vacancy on the board, with the term to expire September 2013. Voters in Atlantic will also act on approving a physical plant and equipment levy that would allow the district to ask for up to 85 cents per $1,000 of taxable valuation, beginning in the fiscal year ending June 30, 2013. The levy would remain in effect for the following 10 years. In the newly reorganized Cam Community School District, Julie Williamson is the lone candidate for the North District, and incumbent Todd McKee is unopposed for the South District. In the Griswold Community School District, Scott Peterson is running unopposed for the District 2 seat, and Douglas Lemke is unopposed in District 6. They're expected to replace two retiring board members, Mary Perdue and Angie Amos. Incumbents Scott Hansen and Clarion Campbell are also unopposed in Districts 4 and 7, respectively. Voters in the Griswold District will decide on whether or not also to adopt a renewed revenue purpose statement. Superintendent Dana Kunze says it's basically a continuation of business as usual with regard to how sales, service, and other tax funds from the state of Iowa can be used.
It's important that they first of all know that we're just extending the statement into the future for a few more years. That allows us to borrow against it. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't increase anybody's taxes. It doesn't decrease anybody's taxes. But it just allows us to plan for some larger projects.
And one of those projects would be the Griswold High School parking lot, which Kunze says is in pretty rough shape.
That will allow us to do some projects that aren't glamorous projects, but they're projects we've got to do, and they don't fit within a budget year, such as a new parking lot and new roof for the high school. And all you have to do is drive through our parking lot and realize, wow, we need to start over. Those are huge projects, and this will allow us to use money that will be coming in, and that way it keeps us from having to raise the property taxes, and we've been real vigilant about that. In fact, this last year we dropped them a dollar per thousand, so we want to keep real steady on that and be able to use this other funding.
In the AHSD Community School District, there are three spots open on the Board of Education. Kimberly Wise is running for the District 2 seat, being vacated by Alan C. Russell Sturm is running for the at-large seat in place of Alan Cordes, who has decided to seek re-election in his own district, which is District 4. Incumbent Tony Denning will not seek re-election in that district. In the Elkhorn-Kimbleton School District, Mark Smith and Joel Schluter have filed for the District 1 and 4 seats, respectively. Each of the incumbents in the Walnut Community School District are unopposed for re-election. Voters in the Corning Community School District have no candidates for District 2, so that will be filled by write-in vote. The other districts have one candidate running for each seat. In the Prescott School District, there is another write-in situation for a vacant director-at-large seat. There are no contested races in either the Audubon or Exira Community School Districts, but voters in the Audubon District will act on adopting the revenue purpose statement. In Guthrie County, there are a total of 14 seats up for election in five school districts, but only two contested races. One is in the Panorama School District and pits incumbent Tom Argenbright against Jim Nelson in District 3. The other is in the West Central Valley School District, where newcomers Diane Harwood and Brian Abbott face off in District 5. Federal flood insurance has already paid out $43 million to help policyholders deal with the damage caused by flooding along the Missouri River, even though the floodwaters haven't fully receded. FEMA says those payments went to people who live and work along the river downstream from the Garrison Dam in North Dakota. That total includes payments made by September the 1st, and it will grow as more claims are submitted. FEMA is urging people to submit those claims as soon as possible. This year's Missouri River flooding officially began on June the 1st. Massive amounts of water from above-average spring rains and snowpack have been flowing down the river all summer. The Corps of Engineers predicts the river won't be back inside of its banks until sometime next month. Farmers along the Missouri River are getting advice on reclaiming their land from receding floodwaters. Crop specialists from Iowa State University and the University of Nebraska spoke Monday with farmers gathered at 20 computer-linked sites in Iowa, South Dakota, Missouri, and Nebraska. ISU ag engineer Sean Schaus says in some cases sand may be washed too deep over farmland to be moved.
And you may even find in severe cases that the sand is extremely thick that the cost of moving the sand may get to the point where you want to consider selective abandonment of small areas that have extremely deep deposits of sand as opposed to moving that sand off.
Aside from sand, farmers along the Missouri River are clearing flood debris from their land. Paul Jasso with the University of Nebraska advised farmers to get a cover crop on the barren land as quickly as possible this fall to restore the soil's microbial activity. He noted, however, seeds for those cover crops are in short supply.
The droughts in Texas, a lot of our cover crop seeds that we would normally have available here are going down to Texas. They're trying to seed something such that if rains do start, they get something up and growing.
For some farmers, Jassa said recovering the farmland to productivity may take another season. And the condition of the state's corn and soybean crops have improved, and dry weather has allowed the fall harvest to begin in Iowa. Ag Secretary Bill Northey released his weekly update on the condition of the state's crops on Monday, saying one-third of the corn crop is mature. That's behind 56% at this same time last year, but ahead of the normal, which is 30%. 57% of the corn crop is in good or excellent shape, 28% is fair, and 15% is poor or very poor. About half the state's soybeans are turning color behind 70% last year and behind the five-year average of 63%. 64% of the beans are in good to excellent condition, with 12% being poor or very poor. KJAN News time is 8:10.